Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about...
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about...
Not again.
No. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of See No Evil, Hear No Evil?
I'm not gonna lie, I was a little worried going into it.
Uh-huh.
But after about the first 10 minutes and then some light research on the internet, I was okay. And I'll get into more of that after we talk about the film itself.
Very well. For those of you who didn't read the title of the You Want Me to Watch What episode, we're talking about See No Evil, Hear No Evil, a 1989 Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder movie. Richard Pryor plays Wally Carew, a blind man, and Gene Wilder plays David Lyons, a deaf man, who together witness a murder. And that setup is honestly about all you need for the rest of what happens throughout the rest of this movie.
Yeah.
Because pretty much the rest of the movie are just a series of set pieces in which to make some gag or joke about one of them being blind and or the other one being deaf. But anyway, both of them are, if not in denial, they don't want a whole lot of people knowing that they have this particular disability.
Yes.
And so you get the scenes where, like, Richard Pryor is reading the newspaper in the subway and the newspaper's upside down. You know, and his sister's sitting there, you know, why do you think that you have to pass for sighted? You're blind. You may as well be acting white. And he stands up in the subway. He's like, I'm not white. What do you mean? Feels his face. I feel white. Feels his hair. Ah!
Does Dad know?
Does Dad know? This is going to take some changes. And that's cut with scenes of Dave, who is a... he works at like a news concession shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where somebody will come up and talk to him about his deafness, and he interrupts, is like, there's this vicious rumor going around that I am deaf. And then he'll go and pick something up, and the other guy will keep talking, comes back, and it's just like, the guy talking to him is like, I feel like such an asshole. And then Dave comes back, it's like, especially on the second Tuesday of the month. It's like, what? Oh, got it.
Yeah.
So Wally applies to work at the news concession stand, and he gets the job, but he owes money to a bookie, and the bookie comes, you know, to collect and is killed. Before he's killed, he takes this little gold coin out of his briefcase, puts it in the change jar, and the two of them together witness it. Dave sees the legs of the person as they walk away, and Wally could smell the perfume and heard the shots. Because the police are required to be absolutely stupid in movies like this for the movie to happen, the two are held on suspicion of murder. Supposedly because Wally has the gambling debt and because Dave picked up the gun, you know, that was used, mm-hmm. and so his fingerprints are on it. The actual villain comes to bail them out. They recognize her, you know, by her legs and by her perfume, and they realize that they have to escape from prison, well, from the jail, which somehow they do.
Mm-hmm. Surprisingly easily.
Yeah. You know, they and they end up, you know, having to kind of get away, and they get into a fight with Kevin Spacey. He's in this back before we knew he was a scumbag.
And he's one of the villains, and he dies, and it's a minor role, so I don't feel too bad about it.
Yeah, I'm still okay with you know, there are so many other good actors in this.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And there's so many other, all right actors, but they're still, like, honest living kind of actors. So I'm okay with this. They get away by stealing a police car. And, of course, Wally, the blind man, is the one behind the wheel. By the way, has my favorite line in the movie. Of all of the lines in this movie, my favorite one is when Wally is looking over at Dave so that Dave can read his lips. And Dave all of a sudden goes, "Watch the road! Watch the road!" Well, if it'll make you feel better.
Yeah.
It's exactly the kind of thing that you'd say to a normal person, you know, and best joke of the thing, my opinion. If you just watch it for the car chase scene, you'll be all right. They end up having to hide the police car. The plot is so messy that it's hard to kind of put things in order. They hide the police car. They call up, you know, Wally's sister to come and help them. They realize part of the plan involves going to a resort where they go, and Wally ends up impersonating a visiting professor, a Swedish professor of gynecology, who's on a panel to talk about multiple orgasms in the geriatric units.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have Richard Pryor in all of his late 80s Richard Pryoriness. You know, answering these questions, and you start to wonder for a moment, is there a script here, or is he just did they just give him the setup and say, go ahead, go, just go for it, Rick, I'm sure it will be fine. In the meanwhile, we find out that the coin is not a coin, but a superconductor, which is extremely valuable.
Mm-hmm.
It is the MacGuffin of the piece. It's used for nothing other than to move the plot forward. The guy who wants it is also blind and uses that to his advantage in order to kill Kevin Spacey, whose character's name I don't remember.
It's not, yeah. It's, yeah.
It's not worth remembering, really, I suppose. Yeah. Anyway, Kurgo, I think. So it's one of those, like, single name Bond villain things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It ends with Wally and the villain, you know, basically having to do this blind man's dance where both of them are searching for the gun, not knowing where the other one is, being completely silent, and coming within just inches of each other at different times. And then the cops come in, and the bad guys are arrested, and the two of them eat ice cream in the park together to close out the movie, dumping it on each other's heads.
Yeah.
Because then you look pretty silly to me. So it's an outrageously stupid movie. It's also probably the best of the Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder collaborations. The two of them by this point are so comfortable with each other and kind of the racial ways that they mix and the ways that each of them approaches a role that they bounce off each other perfectly well. Mm-hmm. And considering that their next movie, I'm not even going to ask you to look it up because it's another you. It was so bad. Like a budget of $17 million, it made $2.
Ooh.
You know, this was their third. This one was kind of the last big hit, even though it got pretty negative reviews. So before I keep going, what are your thoughts? What are you thinking?
Well, like I said, I went into this a little nervous. I'm not a huge Richard Pryor fan.
Mm-hmm.
My initial gut reaction was, okay, it's an 80s movie, an 80s comedy about a blind guy and a deaf guy, so they're not going to be treated well in terms of representation and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. like I said, within the first 10 minutes, I have a new respect for Richard Pryor as an actor.
Uh-huh.
Let's start there. Because
you mean Superman 3 hadn't changed your mind already?
No. In fact, I kind of mentally remove him from the movie. So he's not tarnished. No, but it's like I'm watching this and I had this epiphany of like, okay, I've met visually impaired people. They don't wear sunglasses. They just don't. They have no need for them. But why do actors, when they're playing blind people, wear sunglasses? Oh, and then it dawned on me, because our eyes want to focus on, you know, shift to whatever's making the noise. That's just mm-hmm. how we as humans react.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor's eyes didn't move one damn inch in this whole movie.
Nope. He is always looking just off to the side, just over the shoulder, just off of camera.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's, you know, that in itself took me probably a good half hour into the movie to really see and gel in my mind that, holy crap, he's doing what most people couldn't, mm-hmm. you know, in that terms. But the first time Pryor and Wilder meet on the street without even meeting, it's like, okay. Because
no, you're the...
Yeah. Somebody's cussing out Gene Wilder. He's reading their lips, and it takes a minute for him to process what's going on. He turns around and starts cussing the guy out right as Richard Pryor comes up the subway stairs, and all he hears is the cussing. He doesn't see who's being yelled at and starts yelling back at Gene Wilder, but Gene can't hear him because he's deaf. I'm like, okay, this is going to be it's one of these movies. Okay.
Yeah, it's one of these movies.
And then going back to the other issue of, okay, it's a comedy. They're going to poke fun at blind people and deaf people. Well, I found out, Richard Pryor went to a kind of a school for the blind to learn their mannerisms and stuff like that. Gene Wilder went to a school for the deaf to learn some of, you know, how they work. And Wilder actually turned the script down twice. Two or three times. And the third or fourth time, the studio said, okay, you can rewrite the script if it'll help you. And so he was able to, because he didn't want to make fun of blind and deaf people. So mm-hmm. he took the script and doctored it up, and it, you know, probably made it better. Took out, you know, whatever. I don't know. But it's interesting in that regard, and I like that he didn't want to make fun of people.
It when it comes around, they make fun of the particular characters
of
Wally and Dave, but they don't make fun of their disabilities. They use the disability to make fun of the characters.
Yes.
I guess that's where I land on it. It's like, it's kind of like Life of Brian, you know, that mocks a whole lot of this stuff around, the, you know, Jesus and the church, but never actually mocks Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how this kind of comes across to me. And it's one of the reasons why I continue to feel okay watching it. It's like, okay, this is the way this is. And it's a little bit non-PC.
It is a little bit non-PC, but it is more PC than it could have been.
Oh, absolutely. This could have been... So, this is an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
For those of you who are just kicking in. Because, of course it is. They're not going to rein in the language.
No, and there is some nudity.
And there's some nudity. The language and nudity bits of it. Kick this over into R. It's not for kids.
No.
You know. And that's okay. Not everything has to be for kids.
No.
But it's this, there's this wonderful attitude and edge and wordplay for what is essentially two decent guys who find themselves in this crazy situation. So it's a watch from me. I think for nothing else than to see the way that Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder bounce off of each other. And
oh yeah, that is glorious.
And you get these wonderfully understated moments. So the police car chase ends in a trash barge, you know, and Gene Wilder finally tells him, it's like, you know, we're on our way to New Jersey. You know, how do you know that? We're in the garbage, kind of thing. And all of a sudden, like, Richard Pryor's face just relaxes. He's like, is that what that is? I thought you let one go.
I didn't want to say anything.
And I half wonder how much of this was not scripted, to see the way they react to each other doing that and how much of it is, because it is so perfect.
Oh, yeah.
To watch the way that they respond to one another. You know, are you telling me that you can't hear nothing, even if I was to scream in your ear? And then he screams in his ear for, God, it feels like a minute and a half. And all of a sudden it's like, Wally, I hear you. Really? You hear me? No.
No.
Schmuck. I'm deaf.
When Gene Wilder loses his temper like that, I love it. Every movie I've seen where he does that, it makes me giggle inside because he's so good at it.
He has such... It's almost as if he channels Buster Keaton through most of his acting. You know, that stone face, calm,
yeah,
you know, unflappable, so that when he breaks, it just breaks wide open.
Uh-huh.
And it's glorious to watch. So what do you think? What is it for you?
It's a see it. I would say see it with friends. I watched it by myself, and I think the experience could have been enhanced with a Chad.
Oh, well, most things. I mean.
But no, absolutely, see this.
See this. Skip the other three that they collab on. Well, okay, you Stir Crazy is all right. Not great, but all right. Definitely skip Silver Streak unless you're okay with blackface. Which ages like milk, and Another You, which is just so bad that it's not worth your time and attention. So, but for See No Evil, Hear No Evil gets a see it from us.
Yep.
And that means it's your turn.
I got, you know what? I got something.
All right.